Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Friday, 14th of May, 2021, live from Manx Radio. A 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man and background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person tonight. 12 days, no new cases of COVID-19, 4 active cases, 1 person in Noble's ICU. Steam packet crew were treated like criminals, says the boss. Politicians are stifling the post office, Manx meat sales are growing, and yes, the Peggy will go back to the Nautical Museum on this flume-free Friday at the NSC.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes before 6, these are the update news headlines. First of my Tessa Hawley.
No new cases of COVID-19 have been identified on the Isle of Man in the last 24 hours. It's the 12th consecutive day of no coronavirus being detected here. The number of active cases is 4. Pubs on the island need more financial support as they expect takings to be down by almost a third for the next 12 months. That's from the chairman of the LVA after the organisation held a series of meetings with the Department for Enterprise calling for additional funds. The current clerk of the Legislative Council could be elevated to Clerk of Tynwald. Dr. Jonathan King has been nominated to take over from Roger Phillips, who's been in the role since 2008. Further afield, there could be mass COVID vaccinations similar to surge testing in parts of England, where the variant first identified in India is spreading. The mutation has been linked to 4 deaths in the UK. We're expecting to hear the government's latest plans to tackle it in a news conference shortly. Palestinian health officials claim 6 people have been killed by Israeli army fire in the West Bank as protests turn violent. It follows an escalation of the fighting between Israel and Hamas in the Gaza Strip in recent days. And Prince Charles has again ignored questions after his son, the Duke of Sussex, appeared to criticise his parenting in a podcast. Harry says he was left with genetic pain and suffering and doesn't want the same for his children. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goromayan, thank you. Tessa, from the Ronalds Way Met Office, no warnings out at sea for the next 24 hours on the Isle of Man this evening. Well, the Matrix signs are showing nothing to report on the mountain, but there is a shroud of haze across the mountain. Tonight, more rain on a moderate southeasterly wind through the evening and overnight, down to 6 degrees. Jarrah Shachtan for Saturday. Jasan. A wet morning, then lighter and patchier rain during the afternoon. The chance of some drier and brighter interludes throughout that moderate southeasterly in the daytime. Up to 12 Celsius anyway. Overnight minimum 7 into Jaduni. Sunday, cloudy to kick off with, then sunny intervals and a light easterly swinging north-northwesterly. Highest temperatures 14 degrees. Tides on the way out. Low water 2 minutes past 8 tonight. Sunset 13 minutes past 9. High water a minute past 2 a.m. Sunrise 5:15 tomorrow. And the low water tomorrow morning is at 9:25.
If you're looking for supply-only windows and doors, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing showroom on the Snugbrook Trading Estate or call 674-573.
So, no cases of COVID-19 identified for the 12th consecutive day. All the details from Alex Watton.
The number of active cases has now dropped to 4. One person is being treated at Noble's Hospital, but they are not in intensive care. And 184 people are booked in for a test tomorrow. looking at the vaccination programme, and after government said we'd start to see a surge in second doses being administered, well, it hasn't happened yet. In total, then, more than 76,900 jabs have been delivered. More than 61,000 of those are first jabs. The second dose number still sits at nearly 15,900.
The chief executive of the steam packet company says his crew members have been treated like criminals after a misunderstanding with the government. Mark Woodward was giving evidence at the Public Accounts Committee about coronavirus protocols. He says the company never hid the fact that Manx-based crews weren't self-isolating when off duty, something government says it thought they had been doing since the start of the pandemic. Mr. Woodward said his staff have had a difficult time.
There have been nasty things, you know, that go on with society where people are perceived to have differed from the norms or let other members down. But, you know, there have been, in the worst case, that we've had a death threat against one of our crew members. We've had simple things like children in the playgrounds of steam packet family crew members being told that other kids don't want to play with them in case they catch something from them. And we've had, you know, the full gamut of interaction difficulties that, you know, in between those extremes, where basically our crew have been treated as, you know, to use a very old word, almost like lepers in some instances, because of what has been said about them, which was had no background in either law or in fact.
Well, just finally then, we are expecting the results of this report. Are you happy with how this independent report's been carried out, and do you have any expectations?
I have had an awful lot of interaction necessarily to provide information for the independent reports. I think that it will be very fairly carried out. I have great confidence in Stephen, who I've obviously had to interact with as a result of the report. So no, I have no concerns that the report will be fair to all parties.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
23 minutes now before 6. The vice chair of the Isle of Man Post Office says electioneering politicians are stifling the organisation's future. Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas is tasked with overseeing the post office's 5-year strategy. I asked him about the biggest challenge they're facing.
Politicians. So basically, the post office has a 5-year strategy, which is implementing successfully. That was approved in Tim Wood in 2018, but especially as the elections got closer, we've had motions in Tim Wood, which in a way have taken up time. We've got an incredibly difficult situation in as much as the postal business, more generally the logistics business, is changing. Management time is focused on how to deal with that, the change in distribution of activity from letters to parcels, doing things like thinking about how we access across, especially in the times of COVID, thinking through how we provide a retail network. But most tricky, I think, I found for the board and the management, the senior management, is the politicians. The strategy was approved and it keeps getting looked at in Tim Wood. It's a bit like Manx Radio situation, but on steroids. Sometime in the post office, at least Manx Radio, and he has to have it revisited every 5 years. The post office seems to be every 6 months. And when we have run up to the programme like this, you challenge us, you know. The public out there cares about the postal service because it is provided as part of the local shop and it's an important part of the community. And so therefore, that's why Julie and I are here, I think, just to explain the reality, set out what the future might look like.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
21 minutes before 6. Manannan left Heysham at 1:58 this afternoon. She arrived in Douglas at 4:20, leaving tomorrow morning 8:45 in Heysham for 11 o'clock, leaving at 2:15 tomorrow afternoon, back at about 4:30. Of course, due to the closure of the border, the Fastcrafts season has been delayed. Manannan didn't recommence services at the back end of March to Liverpool. Of course, she's covering for the motor ship Ben McCree's current period of extended overhaul till the end of this month. The motor ship Arrow is providing the freight service.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
On Isle of Man, consumers have helped drive the growth of Manx meat sales over the last year. The meat plant chairman, Tim Baker, MHK, was quizzed this week about what he'd done to improve the amount of local meat available. He told the Onchan MHK Julie Edge it's a continual process.
Certainly when he got the role, he said that he would try and make sure that people bought local. I'm certainly not seeing much more local meat on our shelves within the island. So what has he done to address that to ensure that we can buy local?
I'm not going to get into a detailed explanation of my 3 years as the chair and how much I've done or how much the board has done to develop the local market. Suffice to say that the growth that was achieved in the last financial year was predominantly driven by the local market. We've got really good relationships with local retailers and hospitality companies and distributors, and it is continually growing. However, there's no obligation on those companies to purely buy Manx product.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
20 to 6, good evening. Thanks for choosing Manx Radio tonight. The boss of IBM says the computer chip shortage could last another 2 years. Many firms have seen production delayed because of the lack of semiconductors triggered by the pandemic. The shortage has been exacerbated by surging demand for televisions, phones and gaming consoles while consumers are stuck at home. President of the Big Blue, Jim Whitehurst, said there's just a big lag between from when a technology is developed, when it's fabricated at the plant, goes into construction, and then when the chips come out. So it's going to be a few years before IBM gets enough incremental capacity online to alleviate all aspects of the chip shortage. IBM licenses its microprocessor technology to the world's biggest chip makers, like Intel in California, TSMC in Taiwan, and Samsung in South Korea. The operator of the biggest fuel pipeline in America has announced it's resumed operations yesterday after a 5-year closure. A ransom cyberware attack forced Colonial Pipeline to shut down the main part of its network this time last week. The 5,500-mile pipeline normally carries 2.5 million barrels a day on the east coast of the United States. The closure saw supplies tighten across the U.S., with prices rising and a number of states declaring an emergency. Colonial Pipeline says it'll take several days to return to normal and there may still be intermittent service interruptions. The FBI has accused a criminal gang called DarkSide of being behind the ransomware attack. Colonial stated no ransom has or will be paid.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European shares continued a sharp rebound. The US dollar edged lower against major currencies as risk appetite recovered across markets. Oil rose, gold rose too, and in corporate news, M&G was a high riser again following a report earlier in the week that Schroders spent months earlier this year planning a potential buyout of the company. Sage rallied as it said it expects annual organic revenue growth to be near the top of the guidance. The numbers now, the close from Ramsey Crookall, the FTSE 100, their report is up almost 1.2% at 7,043 at the close at 5 o'clock. In Frankfurt, the DAX closed up 1.4% at 15,413. The trading day continues in New York and Chicago. In New York, the Dow Jones Industrial up 0.8% at 34,308, and the Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up 1.8% at 13,364. In Chicago, the S&P 500 up 1.3% at 4,165. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 40.9 cents, €1 16.1 cents, and 19 South African rand 89.4 cents. And in commodities, gold is up 0.75% at $1,839 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up 2% at $66.36.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Isle of Man Water Sports. Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
16 minutes before 6, here's the all-important information if you're sailing, kayaking, windsurfing, paddleboarding, sea swimming, diving or surfing this weekend around the Isle of Man. The inshore coastal waters forecast. A weather front will move gradually northward across the Irish Sea tomorrow, leaving pressure slack on Sunday. Sea temperature is going to be 9 Celsius around the Isle of Man. And the wind for tomorrow, Saturday, east or southeast, force 4 or 5, decreasing force 3 or 4. Wave height 1 to 1.5 metres, decreasing half to 1 metre later. Wave period 4 or 5 seconds. And the daytime high water tomorrow, 25 past 2 p.m. For Sunday, the wind will be east, force 2 or 3, backing northerly. Wave height 0.5 of a metre, wave period 4 seconds. And the afternoon high tide on Sunday, 4 minutes past 3.
Having a new kitchen fitted or just fancy a change? Manx Glass and Glazing can produce bespoke coloured splashbacks to complete the look. Speak to the team at Manx Glass and Glazing today. Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
The chairman of Manx National Heritage has confirmed there are plans to return the Peggy to the Nautical Museum. Concerns grown after the famous armed schooner was removed from the Castle Town site in 2015 for conservation work. Jonathan Hall insists that was absolutely the right decision and says a purpose-built structure is needed to protect her when she's eventually put back. He spoke to our local Democracy reporter, Chris Cave.
If we go back to 2015, when she was in dock in Castle Town at the Nautical Museum, there was a risk that she would suffer storm damage from high tides. She is a very fragile vessel. There is wood rot infestation. The iron fixings are very fragile. So the trustees at that time took the very sensible decision to remove her from Castletown and put her in an industrial unit up off Cool Road. That was absolutely the right decision to take. While she's been there, what M&H have been doing is drying her out. Now, that sounds a little bit odd for a boat, but the purpose of that is to reduce the strain on the iron fixings. So there are a number of iron nails. If the wood dries too quickly and expands too quickly, it will fracture those iron nails. So we're getting close to a stage now where Peggy will be in a fit condition to move back to Castletown, although we will always have to have her in a purpose-built structure which isn't too humid.
The Peggy has been absent from the Nautical Museum since 2015. Temporarily, it was said, for conservation work to be carried out. You've detailed that drying out process. Is it complete yet?
Very close, very close. I mean, can't put an exact date on it, but we are very close to that date, yeah.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fast am I, Tim Glover.
Isle of Man golf professional Tom Gandy missed the cut at the British Masters at the Bell 3 after a double bogey on his last hole of the second round. He needed a par 4 on the 9th but carded a 6. Those two dropped shots were the difference between qualifying for the final two rounds. The Rowney player had put himself in contention with a birdie on the 7th hole. He did start his round at the 10th. He recorded a 73 and a 70 to be 3 over par for the tournament. 1 over par would have seen him make it through for the closing stages. The British Masters is being hosted by former major winner Danny Willett. Plenty on this weekend, including football, of course. There's the 2021 Manx Youth Games returning after being missed last year due to the pandemic. And on Sunday, there's the Harbour to Harbours Walk. That, of course, is between Castletown and Port Erin. Further afield, and Portugal's foreign minister has confirmed people from the UK can visit from Monday, easing travel concerns ahead of the All English Champions League final. Manchester City and Chelsea fans were facing having to go there and back to Porto on the same day. But tourists from the UK will be able to go to Portugal without quarantining, either on their arrival or their return. And the Turkish Grand Prix will no longer take place as originally scheduled because of the coronavirus travel restrictions. Several Formula One teams are based in the UK, with Turkey currently on the government's travel red list. There will instead be 2 races in Austria across back-to-back weekends at the end of June and the start of July. Turkey could return to the schedule later this year.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Two departures, two arrivals at Rundlesway. The patient transfer Loganair to Liverpool, the 10 to 5, left 7 minutes late. And the 20 past 5 to Heathrow left just a couple of minutes late. Due back from Liverpool, the Loganair at 20 to 7. And from Heathrow, that arrival is at 8:30. On the roads in Ramsey, Glen Elphin's got some parking suspension. South Prom, footways closed both sides of the Prom for the new lifeboat station. And Stanley Mount East, the parking suspended there for the restoration of Queen's Pier. Also in Ramsey, a section of Parliament Street by the collapsing Alden House is closed, really. They're making the buildings safe. Diversions via Tower Street and Water Street. In Douglas, top end of the promenade by the MER tram sheds. There's some temporary lights for repairs to the seawall. In Richmond Hill, the main work on the project gets underway next Thursday. Temporary lights will be back in place next Thursday on Richmond Hill. Something to look forward to. North of Ballasalla, the Orisdale Road is closed for resurfacing, getting ready for the Southern Show in July. While that work's taking place, they're suspending the temporary lights on the main road in Ballasalla. Look out in Kirkmichael, the main road's got temporary lights 24 hours a day for work on the pavements. Peel to Kirkmichael Coast Road, some temporary lights for resurfacing between Devil's Elbow and Glenwillan. And Paul Rose Bridge is closed in Douglas until at least February of next year.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre Club Card has over £400 worth of saving for your whole family. Get more with Quayside!
A Manx businesswoman will receive backing from two Dragon's Den investors after a successful pitch on the BBC television show. Did you see it? Stephanie Kelsey got £60,000 of funding for a 49% stake in her beach powder product, which removes sand from the skin. She explains what it was like appearing on the show.
It was really scary. You're not allowed to take any notes into the den. I considered writing my numbers on the back of my hand, but the cameras zoom in on things like that, and I thought, oh, then I'm going to look an idiot. So I've got two daughters, and my daughters drilled me before I went, so I knew my numbers off by heart. And yeah, but it was really scary. They cut a lot of the pitch out, so the pitch was longer than it showed. It had to be 5 minutes, but I think last night there was lots that they didn't show. Yeah, it was really scary.
And any time there's a product like this and there's a demonstration, you're just hoping it all goes to plan. How did that all go?
I walked into the den with sand on my hand, and there was a lot of sort of toing and froing before I went into the lift, you know, with people checking sound levels and checking my makeup and stuff like that. And I was thinking, I hope the sand stayed, but of course sand sticks to your skin, that's the whole problem. So the sand stayed on my hand. I knew that the product works. I was a bit worried because the product is a powder that after swishing it off my hands that I would then touch my dress and have a big powdery handprint. But actually, you know, the powder doesn't leave any residue, so that was fine.
How has life been since then? Because you have to presume you had to keep things quiet.
I had to keep things quiet. But things have been happening behind the scenes. The American side of my business has really taken off. I think that's partly because America didn't close down as much as the UK during COVID, and partly obviously because they've got the great weather. And so that side of things has been brilliant. And then recently, the UK has started to get back to normal a little bit more, the orders have been coming in. And then obviously last night, since last night's broadcast, the orders are pinging every couple of seconds.
7 minutes before six, the Education, Sport and Culture Ministers apologised to parents for the anguish caused after the conviction of a former youth worker. A complex abuse inquiry was launched by the Isle of Man Safeguarding Board following a court case in March 2018. Ewan Gorn.
The man, who was commissioned to paint a mural at St Mary's Primary School in 2016, was convicted for possession of indecent images of children. Parents of the school have now received a general overview of the findings and recommendations from Dr. Alex Allenson. The inquiry found rapid improvements have been made at the school over the last 2 years, and it is clearly demonstrating a commitment to keep pupils safe. Education bosses say lessons have also been learnt about how anxieties and complaints from concerned parents are managed. Those improvements are being monitored by the Safeguarding Board to prevent a similar situation happening again.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
A man's been fined £1,200 for illegally burning an area of heath without a licence. 42-year-old Henry Joseph Brightson from Dalby admitted setting fire to registered shrubland near Dalby Mountain on the 10th of February. On Monday at Douglas Courthouse, he became the first person to be prosecuted under the Heath Burning Act 2003. Garth MHK Martin Perkins is a member of the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture.
It's legislation that we put through a number of years ago, and we were the first before the UK put their legislation in. And it's all about burning heathland, which is a recognised management technique of heathland. It reduces all the scrub, and the following year you get grass shoots and new shoots growing, which helps the animals to feed. But in this particular case, I think the gentleman was actually refused a licence at one point, and he still went ahead and did the burning.
So he's received a fine now. Now, who goes and stops this or catches somebody doing this? Is this a DEFA team or the police? How does this work?
Well, I think the smoke that came off it alerted the DEFA rangers, and they went up on the tops and found this particular gentleman and apprehended him. And the problem was he had no licence. There was no fire extinguishing equipment, and he was on his own. And part of the licence of burning is a very strict control of it. And you have to have at least two people and make sure that the conditions are absolutely right before you do set fire to this.
Is that because of the dangers of if it gets out of control?
Yeah, you do need a very tightly controlled area. And I think on this particular heathland, I don't know whether there were peat deposits or not, but on the island we do have peat deposits. You may cast your mind back to the Manchester, the moors above Manchester a couple of years ago. The fire got into the deep peat deposit and it went on for months. And the fire service would take a very dim view if that happened. And also, conservation-wise, we rely on the peat to absorb the rainfall. It acts like blotting paper on the uplands, so that when we get a big rainfall, the peat absorbs it, gradually releases the water, and it stops the flooding farther down the line.
That's it for Update Tonight. Thanks to newsreader Tessa Hawley, producer Ewan Gorn. I'm Andy Wint. The news at 6, next sport with Tim Glover. Have a great weekend. I'll catch you Monday at 5:30.
WIP.